When I think about the love that God has for me, it's amazing. But when I think about the fact that He wants to be around me in fellowship with me, it's beyond my comprehension. Why would the all-powerful, all-knowing God of everything want to fellowship with me?
Welcome to A Word from God with your host and teacher, James Lindley.
The topic of this episode is the greatness of God's love and was recorded live at the A Word from God Bible Church in Springfield, Missouri.
Hi, this is Misha Pelkey, and before we get started, I want to remind you that James loves hearing from his listeners. Drop him a line via email at james@awordfromgod.net. That email again is james@awordfromgod.net. Or write to James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. That address again is James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. Now here's your host and teacher, James Lindley.
Praise the Lord. The greatness of God's love, key verse Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 through 5. Everybody please stand for the reading of God's word. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. But because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. Heavenly Father, we come to You today, and we pray, God, that You will open up our hearts to receive Your word. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. The who of God's love. God is love. Everybody say to your neighbor that God is love. 1 John chapter 4, verse 8 reads, "Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love." 1 John chapter 4, verse 16, "And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in him." Without God dwelling within you, you cannot love another person the way that God desires you to love them. It takes the love of God flowing through a person in order to show the love of God to other people. The flesh itself does not want to love. The flesh itself wants the things of the flesh. The flesh is selfish, okay? But the love of God flowing through the flesh can show compassion, can show mercy, and above all, can show love to other people. God is the who of His love. He had no beginning and will have no ending. He is from everlasting to everlasting. Psalm 93, verse 2, "Your throne was established long ago. You are from all eternity." You see, God didn't have a beginning, and God is not going to have an ending. His love is going to endure forever. Now, you know as human beings that somebody can love you today and despise you tomorrow. Amen? What kind of love is that? That's not an everlasting love, is it? But we read here in the psalm that God is an everlasting love. It never had a beginning, and it shall never have an ending. This is a love that people can rely on for all of eternity. But God's love is great because He is great. God created the heavens, the earth, and all that is contained therein. John 1:3 reads, "Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made." See, the reason why God has such a great love is because God is all great. God is all powerful. There is nothing equal to God, and there is nothing equal to the love that God has in store for His people. Now, the what of God's love? John chapter 3, verse 16 reads, "For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life." Listen, God loves us so much that He has spared no expense, okay? He knew that there was a penalty for death. He knew that somebody had to pay the price. But rather than have His creation pay that price. He set forth his son, Jesus Christ, to pay the penalty of death for us. We were guilty of sin. We deserved to die. But Jesus took that upon himself, did he not? Isn't that a great expression of love? The what of God's love refers to every person, the great and small, black and white, and rich and poor alike. There is no discrimination in the kingdom of God. There is no discrimination from his love. God doesn't look at a person's color or status or size or importance in the world. He doesn't divide people up like that. He doesn't say, well, I love this group more than I love that group. No, he doesn't do that. Yet, we as people tend to do that, don't we? We have a tendency as human beings to look at one another and cast judgment. Well, God couldn't love that person because I can't. Nonsense. That's not what we're called to do as believers. We are called to mimic. We are called to mimic the love of God. But listen, it's not an act. It has to flow from your spirit. You have to get into prayer. You have to get into fellowship. And you have to get into Bible study to get your spirit fed with God's love. So that when your spirit is filled up, it will overflow into the lives of other people. And you'll be able to show other people the love of God. It's not easy. It's not easy. You got Satan that's fighting you. You got other people fighting you. Sometimes you got the people you're trying to love who's fighting you. Amen? And you got the flesh fighting you. You got your own flesh. And sometimes that could be your biggest enemy. Because you don't want to let go of the things of this world. They're holding you back from displaying the love of God. You can hear God's voice. You can hear it telling you not to judge that person. Not to cast judgment upon that group of people. Yet the flesh and the world and other people come up and they hinder the word of God inside your soul. You have to remain strong. God's love includes the alcoholic, drug abuser, prostitute, terrorist. All who repent and forsake their sins may be saved. Listen, if somebody comes into church and they're saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, and they start telling you about their background. Maybe they used to be a prostitute or a drug abuser or something else. You can't judge them. They've already been judged by God. He is their judge. He certainly is my judge. He certainly is all of our judge. So who are we to deny them the love of God? When they repent and they forsake their sins and they call on the name of Jesus. Romans chapter 10 verse 13. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Now when I read this, it says everyone. It doesn't say a small amount of people. It doesn't say a chosen few. It says everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So that would include drug abusers, prostitutes, and even terrorists. Anyone and everyone who repents and forsakes their sins and calls on the name of Christ, they will be saved. And they will be welcomed to join us in this church. The where of God's love. Psalm 139, verse 7, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? Did you know that you can't go anywhere where God hasn't already been and where God isn't already at? God is everywhere. Even when you wake up in the morning and you don't feel him there, you don't think he's there, or when you're committing that dark secret sin, even that dark secret thought, God is there, listening to every thought, seeing every thought, every action, every deed, every word. There is nothing that is hidden from God, and there is no place that a person can run that his love cannot reach them. You can't get away from God's love. It's everywhere. The where of God's love refers to everywhere. His love has no bounds. His love even went to Calvary, where he atoned for the sins of the world. Listen, there was a penalty for man's sin, and God's love even went to Mount Calvary, where Jesus was hung upon a cross to pay the deed of every sinner that would repent and call upon his name. There is no bounds to God's love. You look into your own heart and you ask yourself, how far does my love reach for another person? And you can't always measure your love in deeds. Sometimes you have to measure your love in tolerance. Sometimes people are difficult to love. Sometimes you don't feel like loving people. Well, love is not a feeling. Love is an action. And sometimes just putting up with somebody is loving them. It can be hard putting up with some people. I understand that. And we don't always remain in control of ourselves with difficult people. And I do believe that it's okay to be angry when called for. But I also believe the words of Jesus when he said that we should not sin in the midst of our anger. And we shouldn't let our anger go down with the sun. We shouldn't sleep in our beds. And maybe sleep is the wrong word. We shouldn't lie in our beds at night thinking about all of the difficulties we are having with another person. We should let it go into the hands of God and ask him for the grace of his love, because his love has no bounds. His love has no bounds. When we can't, God can. God's love extends to the uttermost parts of the earth. It reaches the haughty and proud and includes those in the depths of despair. Psalm 36, verse 5, your love, O Lord, reaches to the heavens, your faithfulness to the skies. Listen, there's people out there, we all know them. They're haughty, they're arrogant. They think they got the entire world in their hands. And you might look at that person and you might think, there is no way that God could love this person. But God extends his invitation to salvation through Christ, even to those people. To the proud, to the arrogant, to the mean, to the unforgiving. He's calling them to repentance. He wants to give them salvation if they would only reach for it. That's why, as Christians, we can't judge who we're going to witness to. We can't look at a person and start thinking about all of the negative attributes of their character. We don't have that luxury, because God's love doesn't give us that. It does not give us that luxury. We have got to proclaim the word of God, the message of salvation, to anybody that will stand there and listen to it. Because you don't know what impact God's love is having on their eternal soul. You don't know. You could look at the externals of the person and think they're not even listening to you, while inside, God's love is working something out. He's working something out. The when of God's love. Romans 5, verse 8. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Oh, I love this verse. I love this verse because I'm going to tell you something. I've had people tell me, well, I'll love that person when they straighten up. Guess what? If you don't start showing a person love, even when they're having their episodes, even when they're living in their sins, how are they going to see the love of God? How are they going to see that? They won't see that. They will not see God's love if we as believers do not reach out to the people who in our own mind we judge as sinners. Well, they might be sinners. That may be true. But that's who God is calling. We are all sinners saved by the grace of God. Somebody had to take their time to witness to us. Somebody had to come forth and give us the message of salvation. What if nobody witnessed to you or to me? What if they judged me and said, well, he's living in sin and I shouldn't tell him about the goodness of God's love? But see, I know God's love is great because he reached me with it. And in my own opinion, I was a hard cookie. I was a hard nut to crack. So I know his love's got to be great because he straightened me up from where I was. Am I completely straight? I think we all need fixing, don't we? I'd be a fool to stand up here and say that I got it all together. Because I don't. I don't believe anyone has it all together until we are glorified in our new bodies when Jesus calls us home. The when of God's love means at all times. God's love continues forever, for he is eternal. Now listen, guys, we might run out of love for people. As human beings, we might run out of love. Our patience might tire. But thank God himself that he's not like that. Because God has put up with some stuff with me that I wouldn't put up with. There's times I didn't want to be in the same room with myself. Because some of the stupid things that I have done. And I have actually prayed, Lord, why do you put up with me? Because if you're honest with yourself, you'll ask that question to God. Because he loves you. He loves me. Psalm 105, for the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. You might look around the world today and think, well, the world is a lot worse off than it was 100 years ago or 200 years ago or whatever your opinion may be about the world. But let me tell you something. God is faithful through the generations. What was true about God yesteryear is true about God today. The message of God has not changed. God wrote the Bible, and this book has not changed. Now, it is true that people have tried to change the book, but God's word has not changed. God himself has not changed. His love is still there for those who want it, for those who will accept it, for those who will live it, for those who will live it. Since God always was and always will be, his love is from everlasting to everlasting, for God is love. Jeremiah 31, verse 3, the Lord appeared to us in the past, saying, I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with loving kindness. This is a beautiful verse because this applies to anybody who is a child of God. There was a time in every believer's life where they felt as if they were doomed. And guess what? Before they came to Christ, they were. They were already condemned by God's word. But he draws the believer in with kindness. Note this word, kindness. He didn't railroad any believer into being a follower of Christ, did he? He didn't drag and pull anybody into church, although I have seen people do that. People. God calls us with a loving kindness, not with a big stick. It's because he's inviting us to fellowship with him for all of eternity. Wouldn't it be great if all of the relationships that we had would last forever in pure love? Well, someday they will. Those relationships will include God and all of the saints. This is a permanent thing. Your life is not permanent. Not this life, not this flesh life. If you're sowing into this fleshy life of yours, you're sowing into death. Let me say that again. If you're sowing into your flesh, you're sowing into death. Because the flesh does not want things of the spirit. The flesh wants things of the flesh, the things of the world. That's what the flesh wants. And the world is passing away. You can't take anything with you that you obtain in this world. The only thing that you're going to have when you pass on is God in front of you. Now, you could either stay with him there, or you can abide by your decision, at which time when you're facing him, it'll be too late, to be eternally separated from him. And some people say, well, an all-loving God wouldn't do that. Well, why would an all-loving God force somebody who chose not to be with him after the message was delivered, after the invitation was given, after the call of loving kindness was given, after the call was given? How could an all-loving God force somebody to live in his kingdom when they chose not to do that in the first place? That's slavery. That's enslavement. I don't want to be someplace I don't want to be, and neither do you. So God calls us with a loving kindness. He draws you in. And some people never answer. They might show up to church. They might talk a little bit about God here and there. Especially when they're saying his name in vain. But they're not really accepting the invitation of everlasting life. They're not. But that's for God to decide, not for us. That's for God to judge, not for us. The why of God's love. Now, this is a big one for me. This is a big one for me. The why of God's love. 1 John chapter 1 and 3. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Let me elaborate on this. John is telling the people in this writing that fellowship with one another, he means believers, Christians, that fellowship with one another is to be fellowshipping with Christ himself, and that the purpose of salvation is fellowship with God and fellowship with one another as saints of the Lord. The why of God's love is beyond our comprehension. However, we do know that God desires to fellowship with his creation. 1 Corinthians 1 and 9, God, who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, is faithful. I want to take a moment to go over this, because listen, guys, when I think about the love that God has for me, it's amazing. But when I think about the fact that he wants to be around me in fellowship with me, it's beyond my comprehension. Why would the all-powerful, all-knowing God of everything and everyone want to fellowship with me? Now, you all are some great people, and I could understand him wanting to hang around you. But I'm talking about myself right now. I don't get it. I don't understand why God wants to have anything to do with me when I know I don't deserve it, when I know I haven't earned it. I don't get it. Sometimes my brain feels like it's wrapping around the concept, but when I look at my own heart and I get a glimpse of what I'm really all about, I know I'm unworthy. I know I'm undeserving. And anyone who looks at their own heart can only do so when God gives them the spiritual eyes to see their sin. And if that doesn't bring you to weeping tears and happy joy, I don't know what will, because it's a perplexing feeling to know that the all-loving, all-caring, all-powerful God of everything and everyone wants something to do with you, wants something to do with me. This verse, it boggles my mind, and it explodes my heart with hope, knowing that even though I lack everything needed to be loved, I still am. Do you get that? I lack everything required to be loved in the eyes of God, but not with Jesus covering my sins. You see, with Jesus, God sees his Son. He sees him inside of me. And the more that we fellowship, the more that we pray, and the more that we study God's word, and the more that we meditate upon it, and the more we live it out, the more of Jesus people will see in our lives. There's lost people out there that God wants to fellowship with. You may not want to hang around them. You may not even want to talk to them on the phone. But God is reaching for them. God is trying to call them out with love and kindness. And he wants to use his believers as his instrument. We are his vessel. He wants to include you and me and other believers in the message of salvation. Of course, God could do it himself. In fact, Jesus Christ started the whole thing, did he not? He took his disciples and he mentored them and he sent them forth to continue the message. It's a beautiful thing that we have a God that wants to fellowship with us. He wants to be with us. He wants to spend time with us. But how many times in a day do we pick up his word? How many times in a day do we pray to him? How many times in a day do we share him with somebody else? See, he wants to fellowship with us, but do we really want to fellowship with him? That is a question that I want us to leave here today with. I want us to meditate upon that question. What is our fellowship? What is our desire to fellowship with God? Look at your daily habits and you'll have your answer. You'll have your answer. The why of God's love. Because of his great love, God gave his only Son to die on the cross for our sins and to bring us back into fellowship with him. Adam and Eve fellowshiped with God in the beginning of creation, but they fell.
This is Misha again to remind you that James loves hearing from his listeners. You can contact him via email at james@awordfromgod.net. Again, that's james@awordfromgod.net. Or write to James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri 65801. And be sure to visit us online at www.awordfromgod.net. I'm Misha Pelkey for A Word from God.
And I'm James Lindley, and I want to thank you for listening. And I pray that God will bless you immensely from this message.